Good morning, everybody. It is 10 o'clock straight up on a Saturday morning, along with Mike Sielski, columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I'm Glenn Mack now on a rainy, drizzly day in Philadelphia. How are you, Mike?
Doing well, Glenn. How are you?
Well, I've got a cold. I'm battling a cold.
You are playing hurt this morning.
Yeah, it's hopefully just a cold. I'm going to take it. By the way, I'm working from home today. Mike's in the studio. I didn't want to come and infect everybody with what I hope is a cold. I'm going to take a COVID test this afternoon, but I think I'm okay. Anyway, but thank you for asking. So much to talk about today. A couple of great guests coming up on the show. Charlie Manuel will join us at 11 o'clock. Always love to hear from the Skip. And my pal Ray Dinger will be in at noon, and we'll talk about all nature of things with Ray. We have a lot of talk today about free agency, which by all indications, things are going to start happening as soon as today, tomorrow. They actually started happening last night with Jacob DeGrom going over to the Texas Rangers. Maybe that logjam will end, but because it is a football weekend, we start with the Eagles. And Mike, I will say this. I think tomorrow is going to be a real challenge for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Titans obviously run the ball well. They have one of the top two or three running backs in the NFL. They stop the run. You can pass on them. They're very fast on defense. They've given up. They haven't given up more than 20 points, I think, over the course of the last eight games. Everybody will characterize, oh, you're worried? What are you scared? What are you worried? But I will say this, and I'm not ready to pick the game yet. I did not have the Eagles going 16-1. I'm not sure if you did. I think tomorrow, even at home, will be a very tough test for your Eagles. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, Glenn. I think it's an interesting game for two kind of big picture reasons, right? For the Eagles, it is, as you said, a terrific test against a team that is... has been an excellent team over the last couple of years under Mike Vrabel, is regarded as one of the toughest teams in the NFL, can stop the run, can run the ball itself. You mentioned Derrick Henry. So from the Eagles' standpoint, this is a really good test. This is, okay, you're 10-1, but there have been indications in the last few weeks there are ways to beat you. You can run the ball and... keep that defense on the field and keep Jalen Hurts and that offense off of it, and the Titans would seem primed to be able to do that. So let's see how the Eagles handle it. From the Titans' standpoint, and obviously this doesn't matter much to people in the Philadelphia area, but it's interesting from the NFL, from like the big picture NFL standpoint, is that the Titans basically had a choice to make. Do we build ourselves around Derrick Henry, a running back? Or do we build ourselves around A.J. Brown, a wide receiver? And lo and behold, they picked Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown ended up coming here and has been terrific here. So I think from that standpoint, if you're like a big picture trends in the NFL kind of person, if you like that sort of thing, this to me is an interesting game from that standpoint. Did the Titans, quote unquote, make the right decision, and did it benefit the Eagles? And of course it did.
It certainly has benefited the Eagles. There's no question about that. Whether ultimately it's the right decision for the Titans, you have to keep one and lose the other, remains to be seen. I know you want to talk about, and we'll certainly talk to Ray coming up, about how the running game has increased in the NFL to the highest level in something like half a century. It's amazing how teams are running the ball. But the other part of that is running backs don't last long.
Right.
Derrick Henry is 28. I can look up how many carries he's got, but he's got a lot of miles on him. And we know, everybody knows, very few running backs are built for the long run. Very few running backs have careers that are productive into their 30s. So short term, hey, listen, it's a great decision for them if they get to the Super Bowl, if they get to the AFC Championship game, you know, if they really advance. But for the long term, would you put your money on a running back?
I wouldn't. And this is a relevant question for the Eagles, because this is a decision they're going to have to make in the offseason with Miles Sanders, right? Miles Sanders is what, 26, I think? Derrick Henry is 28?
26.
Yeah. But that's the nature of the league and the sport now, is that when
it's
a running back, when a running back gets to that age, he starts to age, specifically in the minds and the eyes of people making decisions about what players to acquire and what players to commit to. So it matters to the Eagles in that they're going to have to make some decisions once the season ends about Miles Sanders and where they're going to go with that position. But yeah, this is what the Titans have chosen. I mean, and my goodness, I mean, Derrick Henry had 303 carries in 2019. He had 378 in 2020. He has 247 already this year. That is some mileage, man. That is some pounding that guy has taken.
Yeah, he's got in his career, he's got 1,648 total carries. Miles Sanders has 657. So he's 1,000 less.
Yeah.
Because Miles Sanders, they've never overused him. The most carries Sanders ever had, well, is going to be this year. So this year he's already got 177. It's just too short of his career record, which he had as a rookie. Remember, he's been hurt a couple times in the last few years. But this year, we got five games to go. So say he gets 100. He's averaging 16 carries a game. So give him 80 more carries. He's going to get 260 carries this year, which is a lot. And by the way, he's gonna get like 1,300 yards this year, which is phenomenal.
He's really been terrific. It's been his best season with the Eagles by far. It hasn't even been close.
I would bet now. Yeah, 8 touchdowns, no fumbles, which is, of course, a problem for his in the past. I would bet that they will not sign him to an extravagant top-of-the-line deal, that he's not going to get that big second contract from the Eagles.
Yeah, I would probably bet that, too, because the position is, you can replace the position relatively easily. That's the perception, that there are only so many running backs out there now who are truly so outstanding that you would commit to them or risk committing to them over the long term. Now, Derrick Henry's one of those guys. He's 6'3". He's 247 pounds. The guy just destroys people who try to tackle him. Miles Sanders isn't that. He's terrific and has been terrific this season, but he's not that. So I don't see the Eagles, you know, paying him to the extent that some of the other running backs, a la Derrick Henry, maybe a Saquon Barkley, might get paid.
Hey, if I want to be cynical, I would say that the Eagles are giving Miles Sanders so many carries because they're not particularly worried about his future after this year.
There you go.
It's the way it works, right?
I don't think that's cynicism, Glenn. I think that's realism.
No, it was, what the hell, which movie was it? The great football movie from back in the day. Ray and I put it in our book, but one of the players.
North Dallas 40?
North Dallas 40. Thank you very much. Where the player says, we're not people to you. We're the equipment. The players are the equipment. You use it up and you move on. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions on Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, Nick Sirianni, or anybody else, but that kind of the ethos is you get as much out of you can from a player, and then you bid him farewell and bring him back for alumni night.
Yeah, that's it. And nowhere is that ethos, as you said, truer than at the running back position, just because of the punishment that these guys take and the short shelf life that their careers have. And you can draft them virtually anywhere. You know, so again, terrific year for Miles Sanders, but we'll see what happens once the season ends.
215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Best caller of the day, as judged by our producer, Kyle Quinn. It's a $50 gift card to Shy Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Shop at their Center City or Wayne locations or visit them at shopsports.com for unique gifts for every sports fan on your list. Shibe is going to be bringing all of its great swag to an event. Mike and I are going to be kind of co-hosting Wednesday night a holiday sports gift extravaganza at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap in Bridgeport. We'll tell you more about that later. I want to tell you and get your thoughts as well on the things that concern me coming up for tomorrow. Look, and I do not want to be Mr. Negadelphi because I don't think I am, and we know that the Eagles have probably the best offensive line in football, and they have a quarterback who we will certainly talk about coming up who is spectacular, and they have a great receiving core, and they have, defensive cornerbacks anyway, who may be the best in the league, and we will get to all of those things. But I will tell you, tomorrow's game, I think, is going to be a real challenge. The Eagles aren't going to go 16-1. And here's a couple things that I kind of feel like I really need to see this week. We've talked regularly about the poor performance of special teams. And I've had people come up to me and say, what are you worried about special teams? Come on, if that's your biggest concern, you have no concern. But I'm telling you, Mike, They have screwed it up so many times on special teams. The kick coverage is the second worst in the NFL. You saw against Green Bay.
Yep.
They're taking the ball 7 yards deep in the end zone and running out to the 50. Alas, which will cost me ultimately in my wallet when we go to dinner, they have absolutely no return game whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good at all.
No.
And to your point, Glenn, and the Green Bay game was a perfect example of this. It kills momentum, right? Like, throughout that Packers game, the Eagles really couldn't pull away from the Packers, in part because every time they scored, they being the Eagles, scored and kicked the ball off to the Packers would bring it out to the 30, the 35, the 40, rip off a 50-yard return, and all of a sudden your defense is going back out there and the ball's at the Packers 48 or the Eagles 48, and the momentum of the game has swung back in a Green Bay's direction, and that's a huge factor. It's not something you can quantify, but it's there every single week.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the week, and we don't get to see the practices. We don't really. Nick Sirianni, who used to be the guy who would tell you so much, Mike, has learned the head coach way of doing things, and now he tells you nothing.
Yes.
But I think Sirianni, Michael Clay, just need to adjust the special teams. I mean, they need to look at who's out there. They need to look at, I don't know who's screwing it up. I can't watch the coverage game and say, okay, this guy got out of his lane. I'm not Baldy. Maybe we can ask Ray if he's able to take that much of a look at it. But if they kick off to the Titans and Elliott puts it 5 yard deep in the end zone and the Titans run it out to the 30 or beyond, that's just unacceptable. This has to change now. They have not yet blown a game from special teams. They're lucky that they haven't.
Yeah, you know, Clay was asked about this on Tuesday, and one of the primary questions that came up, and I know my friend and former colleague Zach Berman, who's now at The Athletic, asked this, was about the possibility of using more starters on special teams. And Clay didn't close the door on that. He basically said it's all situational, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's something they have to be open to, because I'm not sure that the roster that they have is built to not do that anymore, right? Like, I don't know how much of a priority playing special teams was for Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni when they started making choices about who was going to be in the roster and who wasn't. Back to teams in previous regimes under the Eagles, Andy Reid, Chip Kelly, their special teams units were terrific, in part because they paid a lot of attention to it. It wasn't just the coaching.
Although John Harbaugh doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't hurt. And the special teams unit under Chip was terrific too. Mm-hmm. But it's not now, and I think they've got to start considering solutions like that. Like, do we have to send more regulars out there just to stop the bleeding?
Yeah, so my eyes are going to be really very much on that tomorrow. And also, to go with the obvious, the run defense. The run defense was outstanding after the first drive against Indianapolis 2 weeks ago. It was not awful last week, but it wasn't particularly good. You're facing, as we said, Derrick Henry, one of the two or three best running backs in the league. It should really help with Jordan Davis back, likely back, and I want to see Davis and Sue and Linville Joseph in a rotation and, you know, some Fletcher Cox for what he's got left. But you can't, as you talked earlier about how much the running game is now becoming a key focus of teams, and particularly Tennessee, you can't be giving up 150 rushing yards tomorrow.
No, you can't. And what's interesting about Tennessee to me, Glenn, is if you look at the numbers, they are by the numbers as a team, a mediocre running team. They're 17th in the league in rushing yards total. They're 22nd in yards per attempt. It's not like they're gashing people, right? But because everybody knows that the Titans are so committed to it, and because Derrick Henry is back there, they can still be relatively productive. You know, Henry averages more than 4 yards a carry, and he's punishing people every time he carries the ball. And what does it do? It opens up their passing game. You know, Ryan Tannehill's been pretty good over the last few years. They're just outside the top 10 in terms of yards per attempt throwing the ball. And their running game is different from the Eagles. The Eagles can gash you for big plays. We saw this last week. They put up 40 points in a game running the ball most of the time, well over 300 yards, you know, 330, whatever the total was, one of the highest totals in their history and in NFL history. The Titans aren't like that. The Titans are going to body blow you until you commit to trying to stop it fully, and then they'll try to beat you throwing the ball. I think that is a silver lining for the Eagles tomorrow, though, is the Titans aren't as explosive running the ball as other teams are. They haven't scored. The Titans have scored more than 24 points in a game once all season. They're not an explosive offense. Doesn't mean they can't win. Doesn't mean they're not good. But they're going to be, it's not going to be a, oh, they're just hanging 30 points on the Eagles, 40 points on the Eagles, you know, and destroying them.
No, they move slow.
Yeah.
They move slow. They don't score much. They don't give up much.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And one other thing, and then we'll go to the phones. I think we all, the intrigue for tomorrow, and you alluded to it earlier, is what A.J. Brown is going to do against his former team. We need to see him go off tomorrow. I want to see that revenge angle as much as he's downplayed it. No fumbles. And he is currently on pace to break T.O.'s franchise record for receiving yards, which is 1,200.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 6 touchdowns since week 6, which is tied with Christian Watson. We saw him last week.
Ooh.
for the most in the league since that point. And a big game tomorrow makes him A big game tomorrow makes him the first Eagles wide receiver since Jeremy Maclin with 1,000 yards. It's kind of the story that you'll see them promote when the game comes on TV. And I'm telling you, I think it is the story. It's the one I want to see.
Yeah, it is. Because as I said earlier, the Titans really did choose to pay Derrick Henry and not choose to pay A.J. Brown. And after last week's game, when A.J. struggled, you know, he had the second fumble in 2 weeks. A lot of people were waiting to talk to him after the game. And I asked him specifically about facing the Titans. And you could tell from talking to him that there was a little bit of edge, and there kind of always has been. He felt like the Titans should have committed to him, that this was the team that drafted him in the second round. He had produced for them, and he was very pleased in a way that the Eagles felt the way that they did about him, you know, that they were willing to give him the contract, commit to him 4 years, $100 million. I think we're going to see a better A.J. Brown tomorrow than we've seen lately, if for no other reason than he was sick as a dog heading into that Packers game.
Yeah, you saw him, right? I mean, he had the bloody eye, broken eye vessel or whatever.
Yeah, he spent all of Thanksgiving throwing up so violently, he said he lost 7 pounds.
Wow.
Which makes you wonder, what was he suffering? He didn't know what he was suffering from, or if he did know, he didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, undercooked turkey.
Yeah, maybe. I ate the wrong sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was not, and in fact, he said, I asked him point blank, I said, when did you start feeling better after this illness? And he said, the middle of the second quarter of tonight's game. So
it really
kind of wreaked havoc on him. So I think he will be better tomorrow. And yeah, I think it's the primary storyline of this game.
It's going to be, and it could be a great storyline. All right, let's go to our first caller. Oh, of course, wants to talk baseball, which we are ready to do. The First Lady of Philadelphia, or Bala, anyway, our pal Linda. Hey, Linda.
Hello, sweetheart. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Mr. Sielski, you're the tops, baby. I love your stuff.
Thanks, Linda. That's kind of you to say.
Oh, I know. Aren't I a sweetie puss?
Absolutely.
I'm just in a good mood because I didn't want DeGrom and I didn't want Eflin back. So I'm thrilled because what they got paid is I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. Wow. Every time DeGrom sneezes, he hurts his arm.
This may be true. However, they do need to get pitching, correct? So.
Oh, yeah. But you know what, honey? What I was thinking.
What's that?
And I don't know who I said it to this week because I've been talking baseball now that I can go back on the phones again with my heart. Why don't they go after some second-tier guys? I consider like Bassett or Heaney or one of them guys. Why do they have to go is try to get somebody that everybody else wants? They very may well,
but I will tell you, Chris Bassett's going to cost a fortune.
You think
all
so?
These are, well, yeah, because, I mean, look at what Eflin got. Eflin got, what is it, 3 years, 40 mil?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chris Bassett's going to get more than that.
Well, I still like him. He's a groovy dude. but I want some hitting, too. And I don't care which one they sign now, okay, because they're all terrific.
Yeah.
And it's not like one of them is the best in the world, although most pundits say Trey Turner is a perfect fit. Who the heck knows? He likes Brycey. Of course,
yes,
me too.
Yes, and Kevin Long. We're gonna, Linda, we're gonna talk about all that before we let you go. People always ask me, "How's she doing?" You know, because people know you've been through some health battles. So while I have you, how are you feeling? How you been?
Oh, honey, if I felt any better, they'd build a monument to me on Bala Golf Course, which is attached to us, by the way.
I'm well aware.
I'm surprised they haven't built one already, Linda.
I just feel wonderful.
Delighted
I love you. Take care. Goodbye, you handsome ham. Bye-bye.
There you go. Was she talking to you or me with that one?
She's clearly talking to me.
No.
Oh, she's talking to Kyle.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. 215-592-9494. We will talk some Phillies and free agency coming up. Looking forward to that. And remember, best caller of the day gets a $50 gift certificate to Shy Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Shop their Center City or Wayne locations, or check them out at shibesports.com for unique gifts for every sports fan on your list. Shy people are going to be part of our holiday sports gift extravaganza Wednesday evening at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap in Bridgeport. Mike and I will be there along with many others. Shibe's throwback stuff is a great gift for anybody. Mike, you may be wise to go home with one of their Prism t-shirts. I wear mine all the time.
I have a Prism t-shirt.
You do?
I'm happy to grab another one.
Well, there you go. Hey, coming up on the show, we will be joined at 11 o'clock by Charlie Manuel, at noon by Ray Dinger, and we have time for you before and after that. Mike Sielski and Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.